Hey, this is Alex Terranova, and this is the Dream Mason Podcast. We've been taught to behave, to fit in, to follow the rules, but Dream Masons reject conventional thought. Dream Masons are rebels. They take a chisel to the marble that is typical traditional life. They carve out brilliance and broadcast it to the world. Join me for another chapter as we unmask convention, embrace the rebels within us, and more deeply come to explore the complex and agitated edges of our existence. Now, before we get started, please don't be a rebel yet and grab your phone and hit that little button that says subscribe. Thank you. Because your dreams don't build themselves. What's up and welcome back to the Dream Mason Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Terranova. I have a special guest today. Time is very important to him. And I love how he and his team like are so on top of how he does interviews, how he structures his time. It was a great lesson in boundaries, in creating the things you want, but also giving back. You know, he doesn't have to show up here and do this. So we're going to jump right in. We're not going to waste any more time. I'm just going to tell you about him and who he is really quick because it's pretty impressive. So my guest today is Evan Carmichael. Many of you probably heard of him. Some of you may have not. Some cool things like Gary Vee called him the DJ who inspires people. Ed Milet called him a modern day Napoleon Hill. At 19, he sold a biotech company. At 22, he was a venture capitalist, raising $500K to $15 million. He's got some great stories about losing a lot of money too. It's not all highlights and flowers and roses. He also runs a YouTube channel for entrepreneurs. He has over 2 million subscribers and over 300 million views. He's written a whole bunch of books. He speaks globally. He's all over the place. Evan Carmichael, welcome to the Dream Mason Podcast.
Now we're here. I love it. Great to be here, Alex. Thanks for the invite, man.
Yeah. Thanks for making time for us. So I just highlighted all these amazing things you've done. And I know my team sent you over some thoughts and some questions, but I love to just be authentic and just like see what comes to me in the moment. And the first thing I was thinking of is there's all these highlights. What's the biggest like punch in the face you've ever gotten? That biggest like wake up call to like, whoa, I didn't expect it to go that way. Business, I'm talking about business, right?
Yeah, I mean, the hardest day of my life was in my first business when I quit on my partner. 19 years old, struggling, working every day. It wasn't for lack of effort. Up until that point, anything I put effort into, I would get results, you know? But here I was working every single day and not getting results. And I'm making $300 a month. I own 30% of this, you know, startup company, eating the same bean salad for lunch every day because it was cheap and would fill me up. And it just, nothing was working. And I was tired of just nothing working and feeling like I'm worthless. And so I quit. I called my partner. It was some family event. And I stepped away and I just quit. So I can't do this anymore. I need to do something where I feel like I'm valuable. And it wasn't him making me feel invaluable. It's just the situation. We weren't making any money. Nothing was happening. And then I cried uncontrollably, like the worst cry of my life. My mom, you know, heard me, came upstairs, put her hand on my shoulder. Said something. I mean, I don't know what she said. I was too lost. The stuff caught on my eyes, my nose, just lost, dude. Barely slept that night. And then the next day I woke up and said, you know what? I can't quit yet because I'm going to regret it. I know I'm going to look back when I'm 40, I would say, and I'm 40 now. 40 felt like you'd be an old man at 40. But I'm going to look back on my life reflecting when I'm 40 and say, this is a giant waste of time. This is a big, big regret that I have. So that I have to keep going. But what I've been doing, I can't keep going the way that I'm going. I have to find another way to do this. And that led me down a different path where eventually we kind of came out of it. But just feeling isolated, alone. I was too embarrassed to tell my friends that I wasn't succeeding. So I didn't let anybody in on it that I was struggling. Just said, oh yeah, I'm living the entrepreneur lifestyle. You know, I'm hustle hard.
Living the dream. Well, like
$20 for pizza and beer was too much for me. So I couldn't do it. That was the worst time and specifically the worst day of my life.
I love that you brought in that breakdown of like the crying, your parents supporting you, your mom. I know I've been there. It didn't happen when I was as young as you, but it was in my 30s and I had that like meltdown moment. And I think I think if you don't have that moment, you're probably not playing big enough or you're not stretching yourself. What do you say to people who are, you know, fighting through these tough times? I mean, not necessarily right now in the world we live in, but just in general, tough times of entrepreneurship. And they feel like it's not happening fast enough. I'm not getting the results. And they're just, you know, getting worn down and beat up. What's the advice you have for them?
Well, one, I need to assume that you're actually doing something that you love. Because if you're not, then you're in the wrong thing. I mean, I've studied more successful people than most in the work that I've done over the past 20 something years. And the number one rule for success across every field, whether you're an artist or an entrepreneur or an inventor or an athlete, like you have to love the thing. You love the process, right? So, you know, if Alex is hosting this show, he better love interviewing people. And it's not, if it's just a strategy for 2021, you know, like you've already lost, right? And so a lot of people get into the business because it's just not the right business. It's just chasing some opportunity. So assuming that it is actually core to you, you love this, you could see yourself doing this for the next 40 years, then the two things that I find really help, one are that you do difficult things. So I have three trigger words, scary, difficult, hard. If I say scary, difficult, hard, if I text scary, difficult, hard, if I'm thinking scary, difficult, hard, if I write out scary, difficult, hard, that means I have to do it. Because I want to build the identity of I do difficult things, because growing up I didn't, because I always chickened out, right? I didn't do, if it was scary, then that was a good enough reason for me not to do it, where I want to reshape my identity and no longer have that as a reason for me not to take action, right? It doesn't mean go do stupid things, you know, jumping from an airplane with no parachute is not just scary, it's dumb, right? Like don't do that. But most of the things that we're afraid of are other people's opinions, it's judgment. It's I'm going to make a show and nobody's going to listen, or I'm going to make a show and somebody is going to listen and they're going to hate me. It's we're not afraid of failing. We're afraid of failing in front of somebody else. And that can't be a good enough reason anymore for you to play small. So tip one is, you know, again, assuming you love what you're doing, scary, difficult, hard are no longer good enough reasons. You do difficult things. And that's the push. The hug is that you're here to serve. So the other thing that I use that really helps me before I'm going to do something scary, whether it's do an interview or go talk on stage or whatever is new and gets my heart beating, like, oh my God, I can't believe, I don't know if I can do this, is I think about the audience. I think about why I'm here. I think about who I'm trying to serve. And in this show, it's not just about Alex. It's about you guys watching, listening, trying to have an impact. My intention is to serve, to try to bring some kind of value today. I may not achieve that, but at least it's my intention coming into the thing that I'm doing. And so I'll often do this if I'm going to go speak on a stage, whether there's 10 people in the audience or a couple thousand in the audience, I'll peek just before I go on, I'll peek behind the stage and I'll look at some faces and I'll say, I'm here for him. I'm here for her. I'm here to try to help this person with whatever I'm going to talk about, whether it's entrepreneurship or YouTube or whatever. And that gets me out of my own head and into service mode. And that gives me it calms me down and it gives me the courage to step up and do the thing. And so I fight between those two, fight's maybe not a good word. I balance between those two things. Sometimes I need to push and it's like 80-20, I do difficult things and 20% serve. And sometimes I need more of the hug. So it's 80% I'm here to serve and 20% push. But it's always those two things before I'm about to do the difficult thing that give me, I've never not shown up. I show up. I've shown up with a broken neck. I've shown up with a concussion. Like I'm showing up. We're doing it. But how do you get to that point? It's one of those two. You do difficult things or you're here to serve.
So that like baits the question. You're at the point where you're at now. You have millions and millions of people following you. You make, you know, however much money, but you're doing, you know, you're doing well. You're very successful. You're probably beyond where, you know, maybe you even thought you'd ever be. What at this point is scary, difficult, or hard?
Still the interviews that I do. So, you know, I had Tony Robbins on not that long ago. I've already had Tony Robbins on my channel before. The people say, well, why are you nervous? Why is it scary? It's like, because I'm still scared.
It's Tony Robbins.
And it's Tony Robbins. They're like, Tony is the, we've worked with Tony for years. He's the easiest interview of all time. Like, you can ask him almost anything, and he's a pro. He'll talk so much, you barely even have to ask any questions. Like, it's a super easy interview. But I'm still, my biggest fear is disappointing others. So that I'm afraid that the internet's going to go down, or I'm going to ask the wrong question, or it won't be as good as it could be. More recently, I had Deepak Chopra and Matthew McConaughey on my channel, and I don't know them. This is the first time that I've ever met them. I know of them, but especially Matthew, all I knew of him was he was an actor. So what am I going to interview him about? Acting? Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything. I don't know enough. So that's my fears. I'm going to ask some stupid question or irrelevant question, or it's not going to be a good interview. And I'm always trying to make my last interview the best one that I've ever done. And so it used to be like the day leading up to it would be a write-off. If I knew I was interviewing Matthew McConaughey today, I would be just the whole day would be a write-off, waste of time. Like, I wouldn't be able to focus on anything because I'd be too nervous. Now it's gotten down to like the hour or two before. So I can be productive, but then like, oh, okay, 2 hours to go. Okay. Now I'm starting to pace a little bit. Now I'm trying to remember what I'm going to say. Now I'm trying to get back into it. So those things, Brendan Burchard recently partnered with me on a project, right? This is somebody who I was looking up to and featuring in content and then got to meet. And now we're doing a joint venture together, right? Like, as a business, it's crazy. Things that, to your point, I never would have expected. I would have been, if I go back, Evan, 10 years ago, I would have been overwhelmed just to meet them, let alone be a contemporary and be doing business together, right? That would have been impossible. And I think that's good. I think if there's nothing in your calendar that makes your heart beat quickly, like if you look at the month out and there's nothing in there that makes your heart beat, I don't think you like your life. It just means you're photocopying the same day over and over and over and over again. And so you stay stuck knowing that you're capable of more, wanting the growth, but never actually chasing it down. So as difficult that is, as it is, the only thing worse is having nothing that's scary in your calendar.
You just like reminded me of, I had a conversation with a really good friend yesterday who has a great life. He's got three healthy, beautiful kids, a beautiful, awesome wife. He's got a great job. He's got a big house. And we were supporting him around something. And somebody was like, dude, your life is boring. And he kind of like took a step back and it was like, yeah, you got all these things, right? You got all the things that you checked all the boxes, but like it's the same every day. You're not doing anything to stretch yourself or push yourself or create anything beyond what you already have. And it clearly like ruffled some feathers because we got on the phone after and we were looking at that. And I think, I know that people listen to you and talk to you that are living that life, right? It looks like the 1950s dream, right? Which was kind of an illusion anyway, but it's not, it is copy and pasted. How do people, what's your take on how do they break out of that, right? Because there's nothing wrong with my buddy's life, but how does he break out of that and start like expanding it and living it even bigger?
So I think step one is to figure out what your most important core value is. So like if you had to pick for Alex, what's Alex's single most important core value?
Integrity.
Great. So whatever reminds you of integrity for yourself, like what does integrity for Alex mean? Not just like spreading integrity to the world, but how do you live in integrity with yourself? Which means following up on the things you said you were going to do. Yeah. If you said you're going to wake up at X time and you don't, you're losing integrity with yourself, right? Yeah. You say you're going to show up at the gym, but you don't. Nobody else would notice. People would say, Alex, I mean, you're crushing it. Look at it. But no. I'm out of integrity with myself because I said I was going to do it, right? And then spreading integrity to others through the show, through the content you're putting up, through you hopping on a call with your friend is helping him live in more integrity with himself. And that'll be the thing that'll fill you up forever. Like, this is great awareness because you'll be 90 years old still loving to help other people figure out how to live in alignment with their own integrity. So that awareness already is a great step. If I'm talking to your friend, I'm asking him, like, if you had to pick for him, what do you think his most important core value is?
Oh man, I kind of want to say faith. Would be faith or family, I would think, if I was guessing for him.
Right. And it's a guess, it doesn't have to be perfect, but it's a useful exercise to go through. If you run with faith, what does faith look like? So if he's unhappy right now, where has he been unfaithful to himself? Maybe he set goals for himself. Maybe he set dreams for himself. He set ambitions for himself. And he settled somewhere along the lines where other people would look at his beautiful life and say how perfect it is. But he's been out of faith with himself, maybe for a decade, right? So realigning that, what does faith mean to you for yourself and then to spread to others and then starting to live consistently with that? So step one is the awareness of what your most important core value is. Mine is believe, right? His might be faith. Yours is integrity. Awesome. If you're ever unhappy, if you're ever feeling stuck, it's because you're living too far out of alignment with whatever your most important core value is. And so step one is just awareness of that. So then we have a roadmap to fix it. Because if I'm trying to give more believe to him, the thing he needs right now is faith, not as much believe. And they're close, but it's not the same thing. So this is where in trying to help people, we put our judgment on it. It's like, well, here's what I would do if I were you. That's not what he needs. He needs what he should do if he were him, because he is him. And how do you figure that out? It's through his value of faith, right? Or whatever it is, right? I mean, we're doing a hypothetical. So step one is the awareness of what is your most important core value. Step two then is designing in your daily routine, in your environment, in your habits, things that remind you of it consistently. So mine is belief, right? The pictures on the wall behind me make me feel belief. Putting this hoodie on every morning makes me feel belief. Watching the videos on my channel, I make my videos for me because I need it, because I want to be around Oprah and Steve Jobs and Elon Musk every day, because they make me believe more in myself and what I could do. So having that as part of your morning ritual is important. Whatever helps make you feel more integrity, putting that in the morning routine and actually paying attention to it. So I had a woman at one of my events say, well, the thing that does it for me is prayer. Okay, great. Prayer does it for you. How often do you pray as part of your morning routine? Like, almost every day, like 98% chance I'm praying in the morning. Perfect. Great. Her one word, who is what I call your who, was faith as well, which is why I'm kind of telling a story, but more religious faith. So great. How many times, so you do it 98% of the time. Great. How many times out of the 98% do you actually feel faith coming out of it versus you just checked the box and did the prayer or did the rosary or whatever? You're just checking the box, but you don't actually feel it. Like, oh, I don't know. I feel it like 30% of the time. Well, that's the problem. This is the problem for achievers, because we check the boxes. We say, yep, we did it. Good. Morning routine done. But if you don't feel the thing at the end, then your morning routine is broken. You either need to inject something new or you didn't do it properly. You have to go back and do it with just a little more intention. It's because if watching a video is the thing that makes me feel believe, but I'm also washing the dishes or checking my email while the video's on the side, I'm not actually connected to it. I don't feel believe, but I can check the box to say I watched the video, right? So this is where achievers fall down, is because they're checking the wrong box. If you don't get the feeling, it doesn't count. You got to inject it back in.
Love that. I just experienced this myself. There's a house that I walk by on my morning walks with my dog on the beach. And I always am like, this is the house I'm visualizing, right, for my life. And usually when I do that, I feel nothing. But because I see the house, I picture myself walking out onto the balcony, turning, looking at the bay. But I'm doing it on the sand, and I turn and I close my eyes and I literally feel the energy running through my body. And what you're speaking to, there's a clear difference than me sitting in my place now and just visualizing it where I feel nothing. And that experience that I'm creating out there, even if, regardless of how long it takes, it shifts my whole being in the moment. I show up as a different guy for the rest of the day, which is what I totally get. You can create that and you can change that in a moment.
You gave me the chills as you were talking about it. Like, I feel like my hair is sticking up on my arms as you're going through it. Like that, and it may only take 30 seconds mm-hmm. of you standing there, looking at the house, closing your eyes, feeling the breeze, imagining your life in that house. And in those 30 seconds, man, now are you juiced up to go home and actually work towards your dreams. And now those excuses that you had in your head suddenly go away and you're just pounding away at building the life that you want.
Yeah.
Those 30 seconds make all the difference in the world. It's just a recalibrating of the intention. That's all. Because most days, you, me, everybody, like you just mail in the routine. You say, if I did it, I could check the box. I looked at the house. Great. Check. Next. Move on. That's what we do. Yeah, yeah. Achievers. That's what achievers will do. Most, if you're not an achiever, you don't even have that routine, right? So, but if you're listening to this show, you're probably already an achiever. you're probably already the most ambitious person in your circle. So who's going to push you to go and do more? Like, this is part of it. How many of you listening have a morning routine? Probably everybody. How many of you are doing that routine with intention and you get a feeling of boldness and greatness by the end of it? Probably nobody consistently. So that's what has to be reworked. And it might be as simple as a 30-second exercise to close your eyes and imagine yourself in that house like Alex just talked about.
Last question for you, because time is like flying by. If you woke up tomorrow morning and something...
I hope I wake up tomorrow morning.
Well, yeah, but if you woke up and like a miracle happened, and maybe waking up is the miracle, right? But a miracle happened and something was different about your life or the world. It's just different. What might that be? And why?
That I've achieved the mission that is impossible to achieve, which is, I believe everybody has Michael Jordan level genius at something. That you're the best in the world at something. The best, like the greatest of all time at something. And it's not what your parents did, and it's not what you probably went to school for. It's something totally unique, different, out of the box, brand new. And people are afraid to go, one, believe that that's actually possible, that you could be the greatest in the world or something. And two, then have the courage to chase it down. That's what I'm trying to unlock on a daily basis, fully knowing that I'm never going to solve that problem. So that would be a miracle to wake up and feel like everybody is doing their Michael Jordan level genius. Man, what a world to live in. I'd be pumped for that.
Pretty amazing. What do you think your Michael Jordan level genius is?
It's a good question. I think believing in people more than they believe in themselves. So I'll sit down with them. We'll create a map for their life, and they just don't believe that that's possible. It's like, no, this is totally possible. You could totally do this. And my belief in their plan becomes greater than their disbelief in their plan. And whoever is more confident wins. To say, well, okay, if Evan believes in me, maybe I can do this. And just that little crack allows a seed to enter for something great to come out. And so that's in coaching, that's in interviews, that's in the videos that I make. I want to make belief a part of people's daily routines, environment, to make it default that you are Michael Jordan. That's something. So I'm trying to do.
I love it. Thanks. Thanks for having a dream that it's not just about you, but it's about everybody else. I love the idea that everybody could be Michael Jordan at something. Evan, thanks for coming on here. Thanks for dropping some like nuggets of brilliance and some really like brilliant but simple ideas that anybody can take and anybody can use. Thanks for changing lives like all over the world all the time. Thanks for putting me in a room with somebody that, you know, I aspire to be more like and grow more into. I want to just let people know, right? They can Google your name and they'll find out everything. But if they go to evancarmichael.com, which you have, I love the beginning of your website, the little cartoons, like right on the front page is awesome. If they go there, they can get to everything, right? They can get access to your YouTube. It'll take them everywhere they want to go.
Probably. Yeah, you should. It's a good home. It's a good homepage.
and Google will get them there. Follow Evan Carmichael. Check out his books. There's a bunch of them. His YouTube channel is awesome. And I love, you know, you're interviewing people that everyone knows and everybody can get more access to. So go see who he's talking to. And I just appreciate you spending your time with me today.
Super. Thanks, Alex. Super fun. You have some great questions and thanks for having me.
Take care of yourself, man. And everybody listening, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. If this serves you, I'm so happy. And if it doesn't, who do you know that needs to hear this episode? Share it with them. You can make a difference in someone's life today by sharing with them today. And, we'll see you next time on the Dream Mason podcast. Take care.
Thanks for listening. Honestly, I'm just a rebel who found a cause and has a dream, and I'm super grateful for your support. If you got anything from this, please help me out and share this podcast with one person today. You can find me at thedreammason.com or at inspirationalalex on Instagram. You are a Dream Mason because your dreams don't build themselves.